Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's a voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How's my favorite co-host and producer?
Hello, and how are you, Cindy?
Good. Before this show started, we had a little minute to talk, and Nicole and I were both saying this has been a week of a little bit of brain foggy and not as clear thinking as some weeks.
Oh, my God, it's been
so
terrible.
So I felt better. It's not just me. Maybe it's something in the air here in New York, but, you know.
I think it is.
We're trying to fine-tune that brain a little bit. So, you know, we're waiting for a little bit of snow maybe tomorrow. Did you hear that, Nicole?
I did hear that.
So we don't know if that'll come and manifest. So it's always fun this time of year with us in New York with the weather. But we've had a little bit, you know, warm, and today was rainy, so we're just looking forward to spring. I think I'm ready for spring. How about you?
I could not be more ready for spring. Readier. Look, I can't even speak. I don't even have vocabulary. Readier.
Well,
that's not even a word.
That was happening to me. I know sometimes when I'm tired because I start like putting like words all mixed up together, and I was like doing that a lot today. So I said, oh, I don't know what's that, but okay, I hope I'll be a little bit more articulate when the show starts. That's what I was praying for.
Exactly.
And anyway, we won't have a show on February 25th. I'm letting you know, Nicole, know that, and our listeners, because I'll be taking a few days off, so for a little R&R. It's one of the things I try to do every once in a while now, because I spend more time talking to dead people than living, so sometimes I just need to be in the land of the living. So
yeah, I don't blame you.
Yeah, and sometimes I just say, a few days of no dead people. Only talking to living people. It sounds funny to other people, but there is a point where I go, that's it. When I have more friends on the other side and that talk to me than on earth, I need a break.
Well, it's only fair. You need a break.
Well, we do have, you know, we had a couple of people that needed to email and come through. One of them is related to me, and I love her so much. And she's the 630 number, and she's going through a little bit of a hard time. So I love when I have the best cousins and second cousins and all kinds of cousins, and they're all a little bit psychic. They're all intuitive, and they're just delightful. And we really live all so far away from each other. So if it weren't for Facebook, I don't think I'd even be in connection with most of them. So I love Facebook for that. I really do. I love that,
I can see
pictures of people and get a little bit of feeling that, you know, we would have drifted apart. So I just love it. So we're going to put Jennifer on first, 630, and then, you know, you can start screening if you want, but we will put Kimmy through too, because I promised her as well. Okay,
let's start with
the first caller. And
with Jennifer. Hello, please. Jennifer, you are on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Jennifer. You know I love you so much. And I don't like when trouble comes your way, but it kind of gets you to connect with me. So from now on, you're going to just once in a while call in when things are just going honky-dory, okay?
Yeah. Yep.
But, okay, so, you know, I'll sum up your story, and then if I'm missing details, you know, you were married once before, and you have a beautiful daughter from that marriage, and you have a stepdaughter that you're no longer really in connection with. Is that correct? Well, you're
correct.
Trying not to be in connection, but
correct.
Now, you know, your daughter's father has been invisible for the most part, although he comes back periodically. You've called in the show before where he rears his ugly head and, you know, makes a big stink bomb and everybody has to pay attention to him. And they're pulling it now, except now he has his daughter, which is your ex-stepdaughter, helping. So you've got these two making trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've been trying to handle it as well as you can, and you know, you might want to fill in some details for people, but and then I will tell you what you need to do in this situation.
Yeah. I mean, it's just gotten really out of control with the harassment and stalking, and you know, now we're into, you know, bothering neighbors, bothering people at my work, bothering other students at my daughter's school, social media. I mean, it's gotten way, way out of hand to the point where we've got a couple police departments involved. We've got a protective order involved, and it's just really blown up. And so I'm just trying to, you know, handle everything in the best way that we can and everything absolutely above board and, you know, trying to keep everything correct legally so that, you know, everything
you don't hang yourself.
You don't hang yourself
because you're so angry. And, you know, sometimes when we're angry and we're protecting our children, we could do something that's not legal, not right. You know, you don't want to threaten back.
Right.
You don't want to do any of that because, you know, he can and will use it against you. What, you know, your mom, who is my first cousin and I love her, you know, keeps me a little informed. And I loved that he was stalking the kids in your daughter's school because I thought, what an idiot. You just hung yourself. Do not go near other people's children because that was pretty stupid. You know, you just don't do that.
Yeah, they've both been doing that. But unfortunately, they've gotten some other students to talk to them, which has been kind of disappointing. But, you know, they're kids. They don't really understand. So,
oh, especially if they do the sob story that, you know, he's being kept from his daughter and he's such a good father. I mean, there's always those people. They can't even be very good people, like very good teenagers, and they just feel like the Christian thing to do is that, you know, she should be with her dad or she should be honoring her father. So some of the kids I don't think was malicious here. I just think maybe they're misguided. But as far as what's going on here, I don't see him giving up anytime soon, okay? Like, for some reason, he's going to, like, bug you as long as he could. And I know that your daughter agreed that she might talk with him if there were a detective present and a counselor.
No, we're not going that route for sure.
Okay, because she's decided against that entirely?
Well, yeah, we all have.
Okay, good, because at this point, he's already shown himself to be a person, like, why would you want to negotiate with him at this point?
Right.
You know, he doesn't have a lawyer or anything going on here, does he? Because I'm just seeing mostly his. So, I mean, if he really were serious about seeing her, he would pay for a lawyer.
Well, he would, he would do it the correct way and the normal, rational person way. Both of them would, but they're both completely irrational.
And I know that the police have his number and are realizing what they're up to and doing. You know, they're going to push it and they're going to push it. And, you know, with the order, the restraining order, he can't contact any of you now or just certain
people?
Well,
this is actually against his daughter, and it's no contact.
Okay, so she can't contact anybody any way electronically or any way that has to do with your daughter?
Supposedly, yes.
Okay. She looks pretty scared here, by the way. Because,
okay, that was one of my questions, is if they're getting rattled at all.
She's getting rattled. Do you know if she works, by the way? Because it looks...
I believe so, but I don't know for sure.
It looks like that's a concern for her, because certain jobs, it's not good you have a restraining order. I mean, all this is made known. And she also, now that she has a restraining order, if she, you know, she gets pulled over for a ticket, she gets other stuff. I mean, this is not good. It never. So I don't think she thought you could have done that to her, because I think she thought what she was doing was, I don't know, maybe in her pea brain she didn't see it as being harassment. I think she thought, because she's not actually hitting anybody or screaming or in their face. So She's not happy about this, I'll tell you that.
Okay. Do you think she will show up for the hearing that's scheduled in a couple of weeks?
Okay, and the hearing is to determine whether this restraining order, or is it to,
Yeah, because it's at this point, it's basically an emergency order, so they have to have a hearing at which, you know, and she's invited to that. But, you know, at that point, if she doesn't show up, or if the judge just decides in my favor, which honestly, I don't know why they wouldn't at this point, basically then the protective order is in place for 2 years.
Right, because what it looks like is, I don't know if she wants to spend the money to come. She's a few states away,
mm-hmm.
correct? So
yes.
It's costly. She'd have to take off from work. She'd have to go. Of course, it would be stupid for her not to show up, because to have a restraining order for 2 years isn't good. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
look good on you. It doesn't look good anywhere. It really will affect her ability to get another job later on. It's a lot of stuff that's affected here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if she shows up, when I, you know, I'm not seeing that that's going to be in her favor to show up, by the way. So
yeah,
whatever
I,
she
I
does
wouldn't.
Is not – they're not going to be happy she comes here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So he's – you know, your ex-husband, her father, is – filling her with some stuff, don't worry about it, we'll take care of it. But she really needs a lawyer, and I don't think they want to spend money for this. I mean, she goes into the court and tries to defend herself. She's going to hang herself because
yeah,
she's pretty stupid.
She kind of already has. So
the more she talks, the worse. Do you know her to drink, by the way, or to abuse anything? Because there's some addiction here in the card. So I'm not so sure she wasn't drinking when she was doing some of this, or I don't know, smoking pot or doing something, because it looks like now that she's sort of come down from the clouds, she's
mm-hmm.
not overly happy about this. Now, I think she did this thinking that you wouldn't get an order of protection against her. For some
mm-hmm.
reason, I think... She was playing, you know, we talk about the dysfunctional triangle of rescuer, persecutor, victim. She was playing rescuer for her father. Okay, now that
mm-hmm.
she's playing rescuer and she was persecuting all of you, now she's the victim. This
right.
always blows up. Nobody wants to be the victim. And
mm-hmm.
now she's got a temper, mind you. And,
yeah.
you know, she isn't going to take it out on you guys right now. She's, like, mad at her father because this all escalated and got out of hand. So, you know, he's saying he'll protect her, he'll help her, but I'm not seeing him chalk up money for a lawyer. I'm not seeing anything going on here to protect her. So,
right. No, and I know that he's got a drinking problem, too, so.
Well, that's what it looks like. The alcohol was fueling some of this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when she has a restraining order and stuff like that, there's a lot. I mean, you know, if she gets pulled over for anything, this is not good, so. You know, the two of them still think somehow they're going to get to you. You know, I don't know how they think they're going to do it. She may back off, though. Looks like she's if she doesn't, you're going to have her arrested, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I think she's good.
Mean, you know what, at this point, I have spent, you know, my daughter's entire life protecting her, not only from this man, but from the whole family, and she has just illustrated over and over again that I've done the right thing, because I had no idea she was as nuts, too. So,
right. Well, that's what I'm seeing here. Now, I don't know if she's on some sort of drugs. I mean, in this day and age, people are hooked on oxycodone. They get pain pills. You know, people that normally – I have clients here that I knew for years that were so normal, and now they're – you know, they've gotten oxycodone from doctors. They're, like, entirely different people than they were. So – you know,
mm-hmm.
it looks like there's some sort of something going on here that's made her not think correctly, but it sort of slapped her in the face and woke her up. No matter what she does, nothing's going in her favor at this point, by the way.
Okay.
So, and as far as him, has he tried to still contact her, or has he backed off now?
He's backed off just the last couple of days, and I suspect because he's also done some things that were so silly and out of control that he's even gotten his own police department involved without me even doing anything. So he's, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, you know, keep drinking because you're hanging yourself.
And that's what I'm trying to say, that, you know, this isn't good because now they've got an eye on them. They're watching. You know, he's, more of a bully that likes to make a lot of smoke. But, yeah. I mean, he doesn't want to go to jail. The one thing that I could see in these cards, this man has a real fear of jail.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just, and, you know, he's professing to love your daughter so much, okay, which cracks me up, as he's letting his daughter, like, hang for him. I mean, she must be seeing this at this point. It looks like even she's figuring out, boy, he's not doing much to help me. I don't see this problem totally disappearing. I mean, this is going to be coming and going, but
mm-hmm.
you've handled it correctly. You know, it looks like they won't do much more until the court thing comes. She probably won't show up. If she does, it's not going to be to her benefit. And
yeah.
I think she's smart enough, believe it or not, to know that she doesn't want to go to jail or, you know, this has gotten out of hand. I think they thought they were so right and everybody was going to turn on, you know, on you people is what she was trying to get everybody to turn on you. And
that's,
maybe through that pressure. She didn't realize you have a lot of loyal neighbors and people. But, again, the kids that said something, it doesn't appear they were saying it viciously at Amanda by any means. I'm not seeing that at all. So.
Yeah.
You know, I think they thought they were doing right, you know, because they were. But this looks good in terms of the future. You need to relax a little bit. You're not sleeping over this, huh?
I'm not sleeping. I'm not eating. I'm not concentrating well. I'm physically not feeling well at this point.
No, I can understand that. And that's what he wanted. And that's what she wanted.
Yeah.
So in order for them not to win, you need to say, look, we have everything put in place. If they overreact, if they do something wrong, they're going to jail. And kind of now put it behind you a little bit in terms of don't worry about it every day. You know, you've got the police forces all knowing everything. He really doesn't want to go to jail. And he really, you know, he's really a big coward bully, but know that you've scared him just as much as he scared you. So
good.
And how's your husband handling all this? Your wonderful, wonderful husband.
You know what? He's just torn up about everything. Like, you know, he's so mad at them. He's so upset about them getting Amanda upset because she knows, you know, everything that's going on. And, you know, I think just aggravated and frustrated and, you know, doing absolutely everything. I mean, like, every time I call him crying, he's like, it's okay, we'll figure it out. And, like, he helps me kind of, you know, come down a little bit and stay rational and, you know, think of other ideas and talk through things with me nonstop. And so, I mean, he's a godsend.
Good.
For sure. So,
and you don't want, and if I were you, I would kind of try to stay calmer and appear calmer because you don't want him to get up so upset that he does something stupid. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what happens. Narcissists know to make us crazy. They know to keep hammering at us and hammering us till we're exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't slept. We haven't eaten, like you're saying. And then we turn around and scream at them, and suddenly we're the ones in jail. So at this point, you guys have acted so well, so properly, so refined and good that you've got everybody on your side. So your assignment until, you know, you go to court is to get some sleep and rest and not even think about it.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure, of course.
This is my biggest concern right now is if you can see anything about how my daughter's handling this and someone's watching over her. Because that's my biggest thing is that she's going to fall into the sob story too, and she doesn't talk as much as I would like for her to. I mean, she's doing well. She's talking to her counselor at school a lot, which is awesome. But I want to know, like, how she's really handling it and, you know, if somebody's watching over her.
Okay. Now, she's starting to see who they are. Now, nobody wants to think that your biological father is a lunatic, okay? Who would want to think that? So part of her, you know, would like to think maybe he really wants to see me because he wants to see me. But none of his behaviors are making her want to go see him. You know, she has a lot of courage. I think she's a little embarrassed by the situation because, you know, at that age, you know, she's a teenager. You want to kind of like, I don't know, blend in. You don't want people talking about, oh, you know, her crazy father's been on the phone, this, that, and the other thing. So I think she was more embarrassed by it and, you know, kind of wishes it would go away. You know, you've never met your grandfather, your mother's father, did you?
No.
Okay. I know him, okay? I remember the man very well. I liked him very much. And, you know, what he said to me is, believe me, she is so watched by us, you wouldn't believe it. I mean, he's standing near my father, and anybody who knows my father, you don't want to get on the wrong side of my father, okay?
Yeah.
the men are adamantly watching her, but you have to understand she still has that thinking, you know, honor your father. It's very ingrained in people. And it's very hard for people to think, well, my father's really bad, or, you know, what's the situation? And some of the people, there was one person that talked to your daughter about sort of the sob story that they were giving, and kind of confused her a bit, because, you know, well, it sounded like he really wanted to see her and he's a good father or whatever nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, she's seen how this has played out. She loves you and trusts you, and the best thing that you've done is shown her that any time this man comes anywhere near, you can't sleep. You can't eat.
Mm-hmm.
So she knows he can't be good.
Yeah.
Okay? He knows that this is not, she knows this is not how you normally respond. So just the fact that you're on five alarm, okay, and you're an orange alert over here, makes her realize he's not great. You know, she looks like the counselor is helping her, you know, she doesn't want to get caught in the middle, and she almost doesn't want to make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she has some curiosity about him. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm concerned about, and it sounds like possibly more so with, you know, the sister and whatnot.
Right, because the sister wanted to come across, you know, like I'm your sister, or, you know, I mean,
right.
I love you and all of that. So, again, she's a little confused. And, you know, there might be a point in her life when she wants to meet these people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one meeting with them, she'd know who they are. So, as long as she doesn't meet them, she could still have an illusion. They might be okay.
Yeah, but, I mean, and my point is to hold that off until she's an adult and can actually understand a lot more than she does at this age.
And because, right, and because it looks like they're going to get, like, the two-year order restraint, that puts it off for two more years.
Yeah.
And, you know, just know that it's normal to be curious. It's normal to wonder.
Right.
Have you actually told her about him? No.
Oh, she knows everything that's going on.
Okay, good.
I mean,
but have
knows.
You told her why you're not married to him anymore?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She knows a lot of gory details that, you know, I didn't tell her when she was younger, and now I've been forced to tell her some stories, and she's like, I don't really want to hear any more examples.
Okay, good. Good.
So.
And, you know, the fact that he threatened your parents, your father, and if anybody knew your father, he is the nicest man. They were the couple I loved when I was growing up. They were such a great, because they're a bit older than me, so they were like a couple when I was still a kid. And these are nice people. And the fact that, you know, they have threatened her grandparents was probably the thing that made her more than anything say, maybe I shouldn't meet them.
Yeah,
so
that had a big impact.
So everything that they've done is have hung themselves. But what you're going to do is try. Please don't let him win by being that upset over it. Now, everything's going your way. How long has your father's father been gone now?
It's been a few years.
Okay, because he's certainly watching too. And, you know, there's a lot of men up there watching her. So, you know, we have female relatives too, but the men seem to have lined up, okay, like an army. And I'm like, all righty then. We've got an army up there of people. Now, you didn't meet your my grandfather, Dominic, you know, at all, did you? You didn't know Dominic?
I did. My great-grandfather, yeah.
Your great-grandpa, you did know Dominic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay, because if you remember, Dominic was a very good man, and I will tell you this. You know, it's been a long time since I've actually, you know, seen my grandfather come forward. But he said, my darlings, do not worry.
Okay.
So, I mean, you got to believe. I mean, every time I look over, there's another man lining up. So,
okay.
Just know they have the army of people up there and watching over your daughter. They're also popping some thoughts in her head or ghosting her mind, telling her why she should not want to meet them. Okay, I'm just telling you, she's getting that from above. But even your great grandma Josephine just came forward. Believe me, she says we've got this covered. So you relax a little bit. You just get some stitches. What happens if you don't have any sleep? You're the one that's going to look like the lunatic in court.
Yep, I know.
Okay, you're the one who's going to yell and scream, and she'll be so sweetie if she goes, and you'll be the one losing it. So get your rest, get your sleep. No, this is what they wanted for. This is what he wanted. He wanted you to get sick. He wanted you to be upset. He wanted this. He wants to rain on your parade.
Yeah.
He's jealous of your happiness. So your daughter actually looks like she's, she's better than most teenagers when I look at the card. So consider that.
Yeah, she's been really mature about it all. And she has such a big heart.
Right. I'm not worried about her. So do me a favor and keep me posted on everything, by the way.
Yeah, I will. I will.
Okay.
Thank you.
Love you very much, and thanks for calling
in. Okay. All right.
Bye.
Love you too. Bye.
Now, Nicole, we've been on a roll of crazies the last few weeks. People can't get away from the crazies. Did you notice it's the theme of the now, our minds might be a little foggy, but does that make crazy people crazy? You know,
there's something in there. I don't know.
There's something in the air, but, I mean, imagine how they're making her afraid and intimidating her. But, you have to know my father wouldn't be above throwing her ex-husband down the stairs. I mean, that's the kind of man my father would be. So,
I kind of like that, though.
Sometimes we need those kind of people on the other side, throw them down the stairs. Now, we do have Kimmy and let's see what's going on with Kimmy today. She's the 813 number.
Yes, she is. Hello, Kimmy.
How
are
you
on the air?
How are you?
Okay, good. Now, I know you messaged me yesterday, so something must be really on your mind.
There is. I've been in a relationship. It's started off really strong, and it's going on 6 months, and the last month's been a little bit, he's been a little bit distant. He says, he still loves me, and he just has pulled away a little bit, and he won't say what it is. And we haven't seen each other almost in 2 weeks now. I don't know if he needs space. I don't know if he's annoyed at something, but he texts me all the time, and it's almost like reverse psychology, I feel, that he uses with me. And I really do love him, and I believe he does too. I just don't know, where is this going? Do I let this go? Should I,
Okay, now,
torn.
He's doing this the ghosting thing that men do that I hate, and it tends to be, soulmate love, and I could see this was a soulmate when when you first had that connection. There was this very strong heart, soul, mind, body kind of thing going on there. And the first 3 to 4 months, the love is so great that the fear doesn't get in the way. Around the 4 month, the 5 month, the 6 month, fears start coming in, and people sometimes decide, I don't want this higher love. This is not what I'm looking for. And what's going on with him is he's scared, but do you want a man that disappears for 2 weeks at a time? It's not good. You must be a nervous wreck. Are you a nervous wreck over the situation?
Totally.
Okay, thank
you.
I mean, you can always admit it to us here because we know it is. It's one of the worst things that people could do. First of all, sometimes we know that something happened. It's terrible. And, have you tried to contact him at all?
I did. I emailed him. We had a little fallout last Saturday evening. And it was really over nothing. And, he had slept over, and I figured it was over and done with. That's just the type of person I am. And he just took it to the next level and said that he didn't really want to talk about it and he just wanted to go. So I said, okay, here, so I gave him his clothes and I said, here, go, bye. Not thinking, it wasn't what I wanted to do, but I was just going with the flow with what he wanted to do. I wasn't going to beg him. And so I did email him last Sunday evening. And he responded immediately, and he says, we argue a little bit too much. And I think
A lot of it was he pulled away, and a lot of the times when I questioned him on it, he didn't want to talk about it. So it almost became into like an argument, but it was only literally because he had pulled away from me. And I just wanted to know, was this something I did? You know, can we fix this?
Okay, no,
this?
He's
What's
a commitment phobic. Now, what commitment phobics do is you can't do anything right or wrong with these people because they're going to run. And, you know, when you were questioning him, instead of, you know, saying, yeah, I'm telling the truth, yeah, this is scaring me. Because around the 3-month mark, 4-month mark, get scared. People get scared. So if he'd said, look, I'm getting scared. We move so quickly. It's overwhelming me. It's not you. I've got to work this through out, you know, this thing out. It would have helped you. But what these people do is they make it like we've done something wrong.
Yeah.
And you haven't done it. So this is narcissism. Narcissists, it's never their fault. They twist the facts. They twist things. I mean, I had one client that I love very much, and he loved this woman very much, and she has commitment issues. And for, you know, like 2 years, he's been chasing her back and forth, and they were supposed to move in together, and then she pulled some nonsense, and he did some things that weren't great, and now she won't speak to him. But meanwhile, she pushed this man for 2 years to explode. You know what I mean? It's like, and now it's like he looks like the bad guy. He looks like the wrong one. But, you know, I've been observing this relationship for 2 years, and I'm surprised he held his act together that long. So
right.
Know that narcissists are always making it like we're doing something wrong. And, you know, if you can't communicate with a man, and obviously you couldn't, and he's not lying that there's nothing wrong. He doesn't know what's wrong. Maybe he's not a very articulate person. Maybe he's not very aware. Maybe he doesn't know what he's feeling. But that's what you have to tell people. I don't know what's going on.
I went home to New York for the holidays, and he couldn't afford to go with me and my kids, and he stayed home. And ever since I got back, it's been different. Like, I think he was, like, annoyed but didn't want to say it because maybe he would come off selfish. I don't know.
Okay, and again, it didn't matter what it was. It's the game of blemish. What you did, your intention in going to New York was to see your family, was not to hurt him. So you didn't do anything wrong. So know that. You know, he's kind of letting you know, by the way, that if you ever leave him or go away, you know, this is what will happen. I remember when I was first married to my ex-husband, and I just graduated from college, and I went back, and we were living in New York, and I went to the weekend to Connecticut. And one of his friends was supposed to meet me in Bridgeport and drive me back to New York. And the bus was like 5 minutes late, and this asshole guy didn't wait for me and stranded me in Bridgeport. Now, Bridgeport is not what it is now. Bridgeport was a really bad city back then, and it was winter, and it was cold, and it was Sunday. And in Connecticut, everything was closed on Sundays. There was nowhere for me to sit, go inside, or anything. I had to sit out for hours, okay? Now, normally, my ex-husband used to drive all the way up to Yukon, which was about 2.5 hours away when we were dating. But all he'd have to do is drive an hour and 15 minutes to Bridgeport to pick me up. No, he let me stay there in the cold, freezing for 5 hours.
Wow.
Then I had to go all the way to New York. It took 2 hours to get a bus there. Then he had to come pick me up at Grand Central Station, which took about the same amount of time it would have taken him to get to. Meanwhile, this is 9 hours later. And then we had to drive all the way back. It took me like 11 hours to get from Bridgeport. And the message was, don't ever go anywhere without me, because I'll never help you. So can you see this message is what this guy is saying, don't go without me, don't do anything without me, because this is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So look at this.
I mean, do you think that's what it is? Because that's
this is a power trip.
Think of.
This is a power trip here. This is him letting you know, you don't ever leave me, and, you know, I'm going to just punish you for weeks. And remember when we called the last time, we said this guy holds grudges. So this is a real power play, and you really didn't do anything wrong. But he's running away from love at this point. And again, with men, it's a little bit weird the way men are now, because they really don't seem to think they need women. Normally, men just didn't hold grudges because they wanted sex. I mean, it was like, I'm not going to hold a grudge for more than 2 days. I want sex. But now men just, you know, they'll look at porn, they'll masturbate. And, okay, I don't need a woman. I'll just masturbate for the next month. What do I care? It's a crazy breed of men right now. Okay, so this is something, you know, if I were you, I would try not to contact him anymore. You haven't done anything wrong.
I'm not. I actually, he said, you know, on Monday, we were going to, he contacted me Monday after the email. And he's like, you know, I just don't know, you know, I just don't want to argue anymore. And I was like, well, it takes two. And like, basically what you're saying, I said, every time I asked you about it, you didn't want to talk about it. So it led into, you know, pretty much a discussion, which he didn't want. So that to him was an argument, but it really wasn't an argument. So
okay, and again, do you want to be with a man that you have to tiptoe around, that if you say anything?
He was never like this, and now all of a sudden it's this.
Well, that's,
and I don't want to just, I just want to walk away, but now what he's doing is, I just said, you know what, I'm going to just have to say goodbye to you, because I thought you were going to call me, you said you wanted to meet up, and nothing's happening, it's been 3 days. Now, today, because I said goodbye through an email, he's like, you know, I really do miss you, I really do love you, you don't know how bad I want to come see you, and I miss you like crazy, I just don't know if it's a good idea. So I said, thanks for sharing your feelings, it means a lot. And now he's like kind of reaching out all day long, like he wants me to say, come see me, but I'm not going to say that. But I don't want to throw it away. I mean, do you think there's something?
Okay, now you're torn between the fact that this is a very narcissistic man and highly judgmental. He's manipulative. What he's doing is manipulating you to make you feel bad and guilty. He's highly judgmental, like you've done something wrong, you argue too much. Narcissists who judge others over the age of 25 are pretty unfixable. This is a man whose mindset is already showing you. He's not a diplomatic person. Now, the commitment phobics, what they do is they keep running if they think that we're still waiting. Now that you let it plain and clear, you're closing the door. Now he's going to try to wine and dine you in record time, you know, take you out to dinner, be lovey-dovey, and then a week from now pull the same crap, because that's what commitment phobics do. So it's kind of like, if, you know, you let him back in, and you probably should, because you've got to see what's there. It's not over. This is a natural death of something. But go in knowing what commitment phobics are capable of doing. And you might want to tell him, you know, if you want to be in this relationship, it's 2 feet in. We don't get timeouts. Okay, we don't get timeout from love. Okay, that doesn't work in my world. And if there's something not right, we have to talk about it. And, you know, you can't just disappear when you feel like it and come and go as you please. And if you can't do that, then I think it's better we end it. Like, you have to nip this in the bud. You're going to have a man that's going to call all the shots. And you're going to start being afraid
of
him.
Well, I'm trying. But I literally thought I was going to, like, talk to him Tuesday. And then he's like, well, I'd rather just see you on Wednesday. And none of that happened. And I said, you know what? You don't need to call it. I'm calling it now. And now today it's like I just told you the text. So I want to say all that, and I know I sound ridiculous, but I just feel
no,
like,
you don't. I mean, you sound like a woman who loves someone and can't understand how a higher love can go from good to bad in such a short time.
Yeah.
But when you're dealing with someone who's unhealed and who's an unfixable and who it's about him, okay, maybe love scares him and he's afraid. But what about you? How come he doesn't care about how he's hurting you? See, that's what you should wrap your head around. Like, if I was afraid and you were my girlfriend, I would get some therapy. I'd figure out, why am I hurting somebody who's so good to me? What the hell's the matter with me? I wouldn't just walk away and pretend, well, I'm just going to take a time out for love for like a month until I feel like coming back. But that's what the men are doing now. They break up and they go sleep with somebody else and then they come back and then this is crazy stuff. But, you know, if you see him again, and it looks
what do you see? Do you think I'm going to see him again? You think he's going to call? I mean, I'm not calling him again. I'm not texting. I'm not initiating anything. But
well, it looks like he's going to contact you. And
do you know, like, when?
You know,
I mean, it's already been almost 2 weeks. I'm like,
well, now, you've had contact in this 2 weeks, so it's not like, you know, you haven't. You know, what you might have to do is just don't contact him at all. Let it go, even if it's a month, 2 months, 3 months. See if he fears losing you more than loving you. Maybe he'll get some therapy or do something he needs to do. But, you know, this is something that, you know, he'll be pulling this back and forth. This is his way. He's got commitment issues. I don't care if he was married or whatever he had in his past. He's committed to people he didn't love all that much. People get really afraid of a soulmate love if they've never had it, because normally they've been in control of their emotions. Lower levels of love, you're in control, okay? You know, it doesn't matter if the person comes or goes. It's not a big deal. Soulmate love scares people. It scares them to love someone or care about someone that much. You know, and he's got a pretty flawed personality, by the way. And
what do you mean?
He is a person that's very immature. He's got, that grudge holding is ridiculous. He's very judgmental. He has unhealed issues from his childhood. And all of this starts to surface in Soulmate Love, and he hasn't done a lot of his inner homework. Now, most people, you know, after relationships break up or stuff, they do their inner homework. They get self-help books. They read. They try to figure out things. They go to therapy. They learn. He hasn't really learned from his mistakes. And he hasn't really stopped judging his childhood. And, you know, that those issues start surfacing.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's an emotional cripple is what's showing up in these cards. And, you know, again, you know, men can go to war, they can't go to love. But I want you to love yourself the way you love your children. If someone did this to your children, how mad would you be?
Yeah, you're right.
This is heartbreaking. This is not okay. Older souls are great crap takers, and they're great enablers. And they make a lot of excuse for abuse. There's no excuse for someone to be, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then now today you don't love me. You love me, love me, love me. And then suddenly you shut it off, you turn it off, and you go. That's not natural. That's not normal. It shows a really, this is not normal behavior. Now, he may have a lot of distractions. Maybe he's a porn addict. Maybe he's just looking at porn for a while. I mean, people have distractions. Maybe he's drinking. Maybe he's smoking pot. People just do stuff, and then they don't feel the pain. You know, he doesn't feel the pain you're feeling because he's distracting.
Yeah.
So, older souls don't distract. They stay in the suffering. They try to figure out what's going on here. But, you know, he looks like whatever he distracted, he's doing it. You know, he thinks he could come and go as he pleases, and that's something that isn't acceptable here. He lacks courage. It takes courage to love. And what's going to happen is you're going to fall out of liking him. You're just not going to like him. Nobody says you have to stop loving him. That's almost impossible. But just know that you'll be granted another soulmate. Do the soulmate prayer in which you pray for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing. And you want to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. If it's this man, so be it. If not, let the universe bring you someone else. Your children need to see a better version of love. Are you aware of that?
Definitely.
Than they've seen. This is not a better version. This is a man calling all the shots.
Yeah, they're not quite seeing any of this, but
they're seeing you upset. Don't think that children...
Well, they ask where he is, and that's another sign.
And they can see in your face. Mm-hmm. So they've already seen that this is not good. They've already seen that, you know, he's upset you and that he's, you know, come and gone. So, you know that this isn't good. You can't have somebody that's going to be coming and going and hurting your children and making that. So, you know, he's definitely got a lot of immaturity that he has to be dealt with. And, you know, what you have to do is be strong. Again, it had no closure. And what I can't stand about these men is they don't let us go in the arena to fight for them. They decide they can't deal with this, or we've done something, they just close the door. I mean, what kind of that? What kind of that? He doesn't let you fight for him. He doesn't let you communicate. This is nonsense. And think about it. People stay in toxic love all the time. They beat the hell out of each other, and they don't break up. And they do all kinds of horrible stuff in it together. You did nothing, and he disappears. That's a sign of a commitment phobia. You did nothing. I mean, there's nothing significantly done here that he should just have to block you out. And, you know, this is something that, you know, this pattern of behavior is going to make this relationship very toxic, by the way. It's already toxic. It's gone from soulmate all the way to toxic. This is causing you pain. It's making you not sleep at night. It's making you wonder what you did wrong, what you could have, would have, should have done better. It's already gone from soulmate to toxic in record time. But normally the man who's brought after our divorce, and how long have you been separated or divorced from your husband now?
I moved out in August. And, I mean, the divorce should be done. That was another question
so
I was going to ask you about. They did February 23rd. Either I'm going to court or we're going to settle outside of court, which I've, at this point, might as well just go to court because it's
right, that's what it looks like here. He looks like you're going to go to court. I'm seeing him not going to, you know, he's not going to be easy on this. But the man who's brought after we get a divorce, or while we're getting a divorce, there's usually a transition soulmate brought to women. Because most women can never leave a man unless there's another man there. Okay, they've been brainwashed to believe any man, deaf, dumb, blind, lame, stupid, cheating, son of a bitch, better than standing on their own two feet. So the man who's brought, the soulmate that's brought, is usually what I call a transition one. They're brought, and in record time, we relive the whole relationship that we had for maybe 10 years with another person.
It's true.
This man has more of the same traits as your husband. Your ex-husband's a narcissist. Are you aware of that? He's a manipulator. And boy, is he going to manipulate in court. And he's judgmental. You know that about your ex.
Very.
Okay.
Very.
Now, you've got another unfixable, only, you know, your ex-husband, we'll call him ex because we want that to go through in February, ex-husband, he's a scale of 1 to 10. He's an 8 unfixable. He's not a 10. He's not smart enough to be Hitler. He's an 8. This man's a 5.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This man's a 5. The new man's a 5. And what you didn't learn from your ex-husband, you're going to learn from this man. You can't fix people. And figure out why you keep going after unfixables. Normally, I have to bring forth the subconscious pattern that might make you go to this man. Was any one of your parents an unfixable, a narcissist who judged others?
My mother.
Okay, thank you. Now, Freud got something wrong. It isn't our fathers that determine the men we pick. If we have unfixable mothers, narcissists who judge others, we keep picking unfixable men, trying to prove that we could have fixed mommy. You need to get it out of your system. Your father could not fix your mother. She's a narcissist who judged others. We wonder why he fell for her in the first place. She was the princess that became the beast. He had no idea what he signed on for, and he couldn't fix her. You keep picking beasts that are worse than your mother, trying to figure out you can fix them. At least your mother committed to your father.
In the beginning, he didn't seem like that. I mean, literally 4 months was beautiful. It was awesome.
Okay, because the prince that becomes the beast, 3 to 6 months at your age.
Mm-hmm.
They can't sustain
yep.
it. They can't sustain it. Now, when we're younger, when we're 20, because people have a 50-50 shot, even a unfixable of being fixable, they could maybe sustain it for 5 years. You may be with someone from 20 to 25. And then all of a sudden, at 25, their brain chemistry starts shifting around, and all of a sudden they become unfixable. But know that 3 to 6 months is all a narcissist who judge others can sustain it. So what you're learning in 6 months, how long were you married, by the way?
18 years.
Okay. But it took you 18 years to learn. You learned it in 6 months.
Well, I learned it 12 years ago. I just had kids and never left them.
Okay.
I felt bad.
Okay, so this man, the man that comes normally when we're first getting divorced is very rarely the one we're supposed to be with.
Right.
He's got more lessons to teach us. You didn't come this far in liberation to divorce a man and stand on your own 2 feet to have this kind of master tell you, come this close, not that close. Don't call me, I'll call you. You know, shut up, don't talk about that. I don't want to talk about it. You talk about what I want to and not want to.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be with a man like that? It's insanity. So
I mean, you totally put it in a different perspective than the way I was ever looking at it. But
And that's what I'm here to show you, that meditate on the fact that you keep gravitating to people like your mother, people that are not fixable, people that are cold, people that have issues they don't want to deal with, people that don't know how to love, and that, you know, true soulmates are two equals, a heart, soul, mind, body connection. You're his equal, he's his equal. You can, nobody tells you're the boss, nobody's the boss, nobody's mommy to a boy that doesn't want to grow up. They commit to that love and they commit to healing. And that means you go to therapy. You don't hurt people. You find out why you're hurting people. I don't care what happened in his childhood. It does not give him a license to do this to you.
No.
And we have to stop. When we have mothers that are not good, we do not have a self-love. We do not have an inner self-nurturing mother. And so we get very easily hurt by these kinds of people. Now, you have to stand on your own 2 feet for the next 6 months or a year without any man. And become a lover to yourself, to treat yourself well, find out who you are, come to the place of self-love, nurture yourself, love yourself like you love your children, so that you don't mistake, you know, people's abuse for love. Love is not pain. Love is joy. My whole life I had to meditate. One time I did for a whole year. Love is not pain. You know, I believe love was pain. It is not. So think about, I gave you a lot, and once I bring forth the subconscious pattern of the little girl trying to fix mommy, that pattern's going to burst in about 2 or 3 weeks. You're going to have such clarity. Cannot believe how I see things so clearly now. So realize that this man is more like your ex-husband than you might care to know.
And I we actually talked about that with my other girlfriend, and I totally agree with you on that. But I just want to know, is he gonna like call me and try to reach out to me? Like, I just
he
feel
probably
like,
will. He probably will. And what you're gonna say to him is, what's your intention in calling me? Is it to stick 2 feet in here and have a relationship and communicate, or don't contact me anymore?
Now,
I don't
do you think
need.
It's, I mean. Is it going to be like in a month? Is it going to be like soon?
The problem
is that
problem is he's getting a lot of guidance that if he doesn't step up to the plate and be good, don't bother coming back to you. He doesn't if he can't step up to the plate and be good to you, he's been guided to leave you alone. So,
and who's guiding
him to
do that?
From above, his own spirit guides, because he's going to catching up very negative karma to keep hurting you. So sometimes when people abandon us, it's an act of love. They know they can't step up to the plate. They know they can't do it. So if he didn't love you so much, by the way, he'd still be here. He'd still be hanging around with you, having sex with you, coming here and screwing you and having a great old time.
If he didn't love me.
If he didn't love you. Okay?
There's definitely feelings in love. I totally feel that. You could see it in his eyes. My girlfriends are like, oh, my God, he's so smitten about you. And then, you know, I mean, he's definitely a lot younger than me. I'm not sure if you know that. But I don't know, maybe I'm just looking for some closure. You know, I don't like the way he walked out on me.
They don't give closure.
Really
How old is he, by the way?
Okay, don't yell at me. He's 28.
I'm not going to yell at you. By the way, soulmates often have age differences, race differences, color differences. That doesn't surprise me. But that I only wanted to know because that generation of men is extremely immature. They have realized they can come and go as they want with women because that younger generation of women didn't call them on their behaviors. They can have their cake and eat it too. They're also a lot hooked on porn because they're the first generation that was exposed to porn when they were 12 and 13 years old, and it's made them like have really some demented ideas about sex and women.
Do you think that he smokes pot? Because
he smokes a lot of pot. He smokes a lot of pot.
I know he used to, but now he smokes that pipe that, you know, it's you know, everybody tries to get off smoking. He doesn't smoke cigarettes. He used to smoke pot, but he uses that thing now to do a lot of these. I honestly think he's a very honest guy. I really never come across, like, he doesn't have a filter. He just says it the way it is, and I've never felt any kind of lying or anything like that. But I know his roommate, who's 22, which is not a good thing, you know, 28, hanging out with a 22-year-old. And works. Yeah, I mean, 22-year-old works with him and lives with him now. And he smokes pot, and he says he doesn't smoke pot. He did tell me one night he did, and he was sorry, and he was honest with me. I mean, is he
okay?
Now
yeah,
that
but
he's
this
gone
is what this
me,
is what the narcissists do. They tell us a little bit of truth, okay, and then they do what they want. He looks like he's going back in time instead of being, you know, stepping up to the plate and being a man. He's going back to wanting to be 22 now.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's taking a step.
Yeah, this roommate
backwards.
Doesn't look too good for him. Yeah.
No, not at all.
But I mean, I just want to know that he's just going to come to me and we can at least have a conversation face to face.
Well, you can.
I don't
you
want.
Can make,
I don't
you
want
can
it in a week,
that,
and I don't want it. I don't want it in,
make,
in. I don't want it in a week. I want to want it now. It's been 2 weeks already. Like you said, I'm crazy. I'm going nervous. I'm just
okay. And again, you have to realize you cannot fix people. You cannot change them. You cannot control them. So relinquish that idea. You can't control him. You can't make him do what he doesn't want to do. And stop trying to sell him something he doesn't want. He doesn't want commitment. If you want him to come back to you, stop contacting him. Just let
him
go.
So when he texts me, just ignore him?
No, well, you ask him what to say. You know, if you have something to say, call me or come see me. Don't text me. And what's your intention?
Okay.
So if you got something to say, do it face-to-face with me or on the phone, but do not text me. Texting is not a form of
communication. Do you see us maybe hanging out for like the next couple of months, or do you just see it's over?
I see you're probably going to be back and forth, but it's going to go really toxic on the way out.
Really?
Yeah, so.
Like, what do you mean, like summertime or something?
Right. It'll be like back and forth. It'll be back and forth. He'll come. It'll be good for a while, and then he'll be running again. So, you know, it might take you a while to, you know, get used to the fact that you didn't come this far to have a man tell you when to come close and not to come close.
You're right.
Really,
you're right.
You didn't. This is the worst master over women of all time.
You
by
know,
the way.
Even though I was married, I was not with my husband for like 6 years of my 18-year-old marriage. Galloping, I met him in the ocean with another friend, and he met my kids, my dad, all at the same time. It was I was missing out on so much for years. that it was just so fun and we had a good
time.
Well,
what happened was you became a committed commitment phobic. You were married to a man you weren't all that committed to. So maybe you have some commitment issues of your own and God brought you the level of love you can handle right now. What you're showing is now is I want commitment. I want a man who
yeah.
wants to commit. So
well, you know what?
Maybe
I don't want
you...
to bring kids. Yeah, guys, I mean, I'm not going to do that. He's my first one that my kids ever met since the divorce and, well, since we're separated. And, you know I can't do that once, you know, Andy's gone, you know. And so it becomes, and I'm not want to go out and party. And it's just, you know how it is.
Right. Well, anyway, I want to try to take one last caller. We're
yes.
going to let you go. Let us know what happens.
I will, hon. Thank you so
good
much
luck
for your
to
time
you.
Tonight.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, love. All right, good night.
Bye. Oh, boy, those men that can't commit, I want to smack them. Now we have Eleanor in a new guy. Okay, is this my Eleanor who calls in sometimes, by the
this
way?
This is your Eleanor, yes.
Okay, good. That's why I wanted to take her. She's got a new guy, so let's put her on and see if we can
quickly
before
guy.
The show closes.
Certain. And he's a psychic medium as well. So
wow.
Let's see what Eleanor has to say.
Hello, Cindy. How are you?
So how did you meet this psychic medium guy?
Oh, my goodness. You know, things happen accidentally for me. I was just about wrapping up online, and, you know, we just chatted as friends, and then a month went by, and we started chatting again as friends, and things have been developing slowly, and now we're in a relationship, you know, months later, and I'm not sure. You know, I don't know what your feeling is.
Does he live nearby and everything? At least you can...
Well, I mean...
Is this a long-distance-y thing?
Well, I mean, he lives in Jersey, but it's on the New York border, so it's
okay,
about
good.
50... It's 50 minutes, so
okay,
really,
that's
I mean...
Good.
I can, yeah,
it's
I mean,
not,
I
it's not California, okay?
Oh, no. Yeah, exactly,
okay,
so... Not around
okay.
the corner, but...
You know, it looks like you guys have been brought together, and there's a little bit of, you know, kismet going on here. Have you seen any red flags with him yet? Because there's a little
yes.
bit of things showing up here. I mean, I have to tell you, there's like a big red flag here. I'm not sure what that red flag is, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what I've found being in the world of spiritual people,
mm-hmm.
Don't be fooled by people that are spiritual, because I've been hurt more by spiritual people than probably the average Joe Schmo.
Mm-hmm.
But because they can sometimes have big unhealed issues. But
oh, he has tremendous ones.
Okay, that's what I'm seeing here. And there's some extremes of moods here. There's a lot of unhealed issues. People who are on, you know, psychic mediums or on a spiritual path are usually called harder on their behaviors, by the way. They're expected to heal them, you know, heal yourself, you know, physician, heal thyself kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm seeing that this relationship could go toxic pretty quickly, you know. Just go in with your eyes open, you know. Are you learning you can't fix people?
Yeah, I mean, he has such tremendous issues stemming from his childhood, and he's had so much trauma, he just can't, you know, he can't, let's just say he won't.
And how old
you know,
is he?
He'll,
how
oh,
old
he's,
is
he? He's 49. He's a few
okay,
years
that's
older
too
than
old.
Me.
That's too old to keep trauma from childhood, okay? It's too old. It's too long. It's too far gone. And realize that, yeah, most light workers, most people who are healers of some sort have had traumatic childhoods. That's how we understand dysfunction. But, you know, if he's 49 and he hasn't healed these, now you've been brought as a soulmate, and this is probably but God's trying way of saying, can you heal this now through love, your issues? Let me bring you a soulmate and see if you can heal it. But, you know, he might be very resistant to heal what I see here.
Oh, he's extremely resistant. He's very fixed. And he's very controlling over his life.
Right. And these are huge red flags. And, you know, when you have a soulmate, you're not in control of love. You're not in control of your feelings. And, you know, this looks... And how long have you been dating? About a month, you said now?
No. I want to say it's been since October,
okay,
November.
Okay. You're around the... 4 month mark, okay. 4 to 6 is when the prince becomes the beast. This is real. If you make it past the 6 months, you usually can make it. But
yeah, I mean, I've seen the beast already. I've seen the beast, and
okay,
because
the devil card
emotions.
Came up on him, by the way, which is a toxic relationship, and it's come up every time I've shuffled the cards like 14 times. Okay.
Oh my God.
So this has a potential. What you didn't learn from your ex that you can't fix people might be here. So, you know, go in with your eyes open. You know, of course, we're brought soulmates. We have lessons to learn. They have lessons to learn. I'm not saying don't run from him, but don't make excuses for abuse. Maybe tell him, look, you know, the fact that you had a hard childhood doesn't give you a license not to heal. There's a point in which nobody cares what your mommy and daddy did. You've got to get over it. And you can get over it if you want to. I mean, usually people who can't get over it are OCDs. They're obsessive compulsives. They can't get over the past. So maybe he has some form of mental illness that makes him not able to get over it.
Well, he does suffer from depression. And right now, he has such severe pain issues. I mean, he won't take any drugs for it because his brother died of a drug overdose in a car accident. He will not take any drugs. So he's trying to address the pain issues with trigger point injections, and he's going to a neurologist. Do you see this resolving? Because that's a big part of the problem here.
No, I see. Sometimes people would rather have physical pain than face their psychological pain. Okay, so these people always manage to have some sort of illness, something, that they don't have to face their psychic pain. So just know that, you know, this isn't an easy road here with him. So there might be a point where, you know, I don't want you to feel bad, like you don't want to walk out on him. He's in pain. He's got this. He's got that. And you don't want to hurt him. You know, you don't need to carry somebody else's cross right now. You got enough on your own plate. And you got enough to take care of with your own. So go in with the eyes open. You know, I'm seeing that this man might be more than you want to, like, keep in your life. But again, don't rush it. See it. You know, you got to give him a chance. Normally, like, 6 months. Let's see what he can do with it. But, you know, he's always been a man that's reluctant to heal, always. And resistance. And, you know, he's a psychic medium. You get more help from the other side, believe me. So
right.
God calls him harder on it than, like, God calls me very hard on my unhealed issues more than other people, because I have to heal them. I should know better. I'm here, you know. So anybody with a gift like that is expected to heal. And if they don't.
But he's really good at healing other people. He's amazing as a therapist. Really good, but, you know, he won't heal himself, and he's very, very hard
on
himself.
And the real lesson, we're back on earth, by the way, is not so much to heal others. Why don't you heal yourself? If we go back to God and we've healed others but not ourselves, that's really negative karma. Like, maybe he needs to start healing himself and not worry about other people for a while. You know, so
what are his thoughts about me?
Oh, he thinks you're the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Really?
He adores you. You know, you're a good catch. He's not stupid. Okay, he's smart that way. But, you know, do me a favor and call in next week or a week or so from now so that we can, like, discuss him a little more. I want to see what plays out in the next week, by the way.
Okay.
I mean, now that I pointed it out to you, something.
Yeah.
I want you to kind of go in there and, you know, maybe see that he doesn't want to heal. And if he can't, I don't think you want to take this on too much.
Right. Well, he is a good friend. We talk for sometimes 6 hours a night, which is insane, you know. So there is something there. It's just, you know, it's aggravating that he can't get, you know, through his past.
Right. And again, you know, sometimes people just have to get, you know, over themselves, by the way.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think that's what he needs to do, just get over himself. And maybe, you know, do call in and let us know, okay?
Okay.
We'll be curious. Well, anyway, we've got to wind up the show because we are over
time
at this point.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Good night, everybody.
Okay,
Nicole,
we'll talk
soon. As you can see, we've gone, like, sort of full circle with the men tonight, huh?
Oh, my goodness, we have.
I mean, why can't the men love? Why can't they heal?
You know what? I think we happen to have a high female listener population because, you know what? Like, even I see girls at work, Cindy, and the girls are just as bad as the guys. So I don't want the guys that do listen to the show to feel like, you know, we're man-hating right now because, you know, women do the same thing.
Well, it's true. And that's why you're on the show to let us know. It's not just men. You know?
Oh, yeah, it's not just guys. Sometimes the guys are ready for love, and it's the girls that are running because, you know, they're just as afraid as a man is.
Exactly. Well, good night, everybody, and we'll speak soon. Next week is our show.
Oh,
Okay, bye, everybody.